Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan.
With insurancebroker.ie.
On News Talk.
Is there too much focus on third level education? Because Billy Han, who's the chief executive of Dublin Bus, says the company has had to recruit from overseas because of a shortage of mechanics here in Ireland. And he says the focus on university to provide rewarding employment has now left key sectors of the country's economy short of skills. Conor Doolan, who's Éire na Éireann's apprentice training manager, is with me here on Lunchtime Live today. Is Billy Han right, Conor?
Well, I suppose, look, apprenticeships are the way forward, and like people should be, you know, going back to the succession plans and, you know, and finding out retirements and finding out like what the business needs are, and they should, you know, have their workforces ready to, you know, to slot into these roles, and you should know how many people are leaving and how many people you should have to fill these vacancies.
But are there people to fill them?
Well, I suppose I'm just talking about apprenticeships now, really. We had over 3,500, up to 3,000, we'd just shy of 3,500 applicants this year for apprenticeships. So there's no shortage of people looking to apply for the apprenticeship roles. You know, we'd no problem filling our vacancies. But again, it's just trying to get the right people into the business and hold on to them people and train them, give them the skill sets to be the future, you know.
And this is a variety of different apprenticeships, isn't it, that you have within Éire na Éireann? It's not all train driving.
Yeah, no, it's not all train driving. No, so we have apprentice fitters, MAMFs. We have apprentice mechanics, heavy vehicle mechanics, and we have apprentice electricians, and we also have OEM technician apprenticeships. And I suppose that's the best thing about, you know, a big organization. You're taking in you know, multiple different craft workers or apprentices. So, you know, people like kind of diverse as well, and you know, multi-skilled craft workers is the end goal for us. It's kind of get people that are, you know, all-rounders, and they get a taste of you know, of everything, and they get to understand the business. You know, you keep them for 4 years, you put them through you know, rigorous training, and get them up to speed, and then we know with the intention of keeping these people going forward, you know.
So this is an apprentice program, and I know you were with us previously, Conor, to talk about that application day that was there for students. But this is a 4 year scheme where students can come straight from secondary school, straight from their leaving cert, and instead of opting to go to you know, Dublin based university, you can start in the apprentice program at Éire na Éireann.
Yeah, so apprenticeships, I suppose, look, speaking from my own experience, I was an apprentice. So when I finished school, I went straight into apprenticeship with Éire na Éireann. I was very privileged. I applied for the role. I got the role. I worked hard for 4 years. I learned the business. I got a full-time job out of it. And I'm here 27 years later. So I'm living proof that, you know, apprenticeships change lives. You know, I was never very, I suppose, an A student. I definitely wasn't an A. I probably wasn't even a B or a C. But I still managed, you know, to secure a good job. And when I was passionate about things, I gave it my all, and you know, I reaped the rewards.
Yeah.
But I speak about the program very highly because I believe in it. And there's loads of people out there that they don't know it yet, but they're actually an apprenticeship is for them. It's just trying to get these people into the mindset and going out to the schools and going out to the guidance teachers and going to the principals and encouraging people to apply for roles and listening to other people like that have come through the system. You know, I only have two apprentices over in the RDS. One is speaking at 13:25 today, and one at 9:40 in the morning. So we have male and a female, Aaron and Molly. You know, two role models for apprenticeships, and living proof that, you know, the apprenticeships can change lives. And they're going to speak about their journeys, and with the hope of people listening to their stories and following their footsteps.
Yeah, and because of that, you guys at Éire na Éireann, you haven't had to recruit from overseas to try and fill a shortage or a gap.
No, not definitely not for apprentices anyway.
Okay.
You know,
okay.
We have them here. You know, we're looking after the pool here. We have, you know, a lot of applications coming in. You know, we go through the process to try and get the best candidates to fill the jobs, you know.
Shauna Doyle is with us. Shauna's a tarmac contractor. Is there too much focus, in your opinion, Shauna, on third level education in universities?
I do think that it needs to change in the sense that it's not just third level and university. There are other options. I think teachers and parents need to really focus on apprenticeships and even just working in the trades, that there is a high demand there, and the demand will just be increasing as years go on.
So what's your backstory? You moved into the tarmacking business later in life, did you?
Yeah, I did. When I left school, I trained as a beautician and worked in the beauty industry for 7 years. And then I decided to start working with our family business as it started to grow. So for the past 8 years, I've been working in the tarmac industry. I've been learning from the bottom up because there isn't actually an apprenticeship in kind of groundworks and tarmac. So, yeah, I've been working in this industry now, which is very different to what I originally thought I would end up doing.
Yeah.
But I love it. I couldn't go back to beauty now. As much as I love beauty still.
I was going to say, it's a lot less glamorous, though, I would think,
yeah,
Shauna.
Oh, absolutely. Oh, God, yeah. So, yeah, I still am the ultimate girly girl, which just shows that anyone really can work in construction. It is accessible to everyone, and I really think that needs to be a core focus for promoting apprenticeships. That it really is like for everyone. There is an option there for everyone.
Lisa's with us on the line as well, Shauna. Lisa, you're from Sullis, so I mean, you guys are in the business, I suppose, of trying to match would-be apprentices with different programs that are out there. Do we promote the apprenticeships enough?
Well, we don't really approach, any options other than degrees. Like, it's very narrow for anyone who's in school. The focus is on the race for CAO, and we all know what CAO means, So I think there's not enough emphasis on, promoting practical training that just leads directly to a job. Something you said there about people crying out for, employment. Like, we're so short of people working in healthcare. We're so short of, people to work in early years. Like, I know people who own their preschools, and they're literally hosting Spanish teachers in their houses to fulfil the need, the employment need that they have. Mm.
So Billy Hahn's right then, there is a shortage.
There is a shortage, yeah, for sure. And I don't necessarily know that, further education, it's further education that I'm involved in, it's adjacent to apprenticeships, but, that people really know and are clear about those options, I don't think there's any like stigma anymore in terms of like, if university doesn't happen for you, it's all the one. Mm. I think people get to do their plan A no matter what that is. And if your passion is cooking, if you get top culinary apprenticeship, that is your plan A. So, to support young people who get to do what they want to do, it's just to have that variance in, focus as they get through secondary school, and indeed afterwards, like that last speaker there changed her life completely. Mm. And we have like hairdressers who for whatever reason really enjoy caring for the elderly, and then they realize, oh my god, I'm cutting this lady's hair and I'm really getting so much job satisfaction here, I actually want to do this as a career. And they do their major awards in healthcare support, and now they're working elsewhere. So people do change and adapt. It's just to make those pathways clear as early as possible.
Where do we have a shortage? I mean, Billy Hahn's talking about having to recruit people into Dublin Bus from overseas because he says we have a shortage of mechanics. Where else do we need to fill holes?
Oh, early years and healthcare. Nursing homes.
Just those two?
Oh, well, as far as the gaps that, we see actively, like it's when employers are ringing us directly to say, can you please speak to your classes? Please let us know who you have. And the unfortunate thing there is that number are quite small, because usually by the time they've gone on work experience, they're already, being wined and dined by the employer, hoping that they'll keep them. It's a thing that once they start a program and once they're, on that route, they've already earmarked somewhere that they want to work. They've already done work experience there.
I remember, Lisa, during the downturn, when everything, the whole economy collapsed here back in 2007, 2008, and we were just coming out of college at the time, out of degree and master's programmes, and, huge chunk of my friends left, pretty much all of them went to Australia. And one of the things I remember from talking to them at the time was that they used to talk about this list. the Australian list, that the Australian government had released a list of professions that they wanted to fill, that they were actively targeting people from construction, hairdressers, healthcare, nurses in particular, highly skilled people. And they were, if you were on that list from Ireland and you were trying to get to Australia, your visas were fast-tracked, everything, you know, they were welcoming you with open arms. Are we doing something similar here?
We are doing something similar here, and we have those programs for people in healthcare, people in IT, the shortages that we have, and we have, like, you know, 2-year visa programs to get those people over where they have a job offer. They're all, you know, in play. But other countries, like, manage their apprentices and have been managing them for way longer than we have. They've been managing, like, you know, in Germany, like half of school leavers like that, exactly what you're saying. They have those kind of lists of vocational training that, you know, that their own population are encouraged to do. The same in the Netherlands and Australia. But, like, the Australians are very smart. They have, you know, our young Irish going out to, you know, work on their farms as part of their visa. So they're very strategic about the way.
It's a brilliant thing what they do. If you want to stay for a second year, you have to go and work in some of the industries that none of the native Australians seem to want to work in. I think it's a brilliant, you know, it's a brilliant concept what they do. I wouldn't fancy doing it myself, but I think if you want to go out and stay and work there.
They come home and they're hungry, you know.
Yeah.
Like, a lot of people, you know, they might say, you know, guffaw at going and working in McDonald's, making a tip. But, you know, sometimes they're the experiences that really make you, you know, who you are.
Yeah, make you decide what you want to do. Listeners wondering here, he's got in touch to make the point. A friend of mine is a plasterer. He said nine plasterers went through the apprenticeship program last year. So remember, all these houses we're going to build, and we've nine potential plasterers going through programmes. Let me bring in Jimmy. Jimmy's with us on the line too, Lisa. Jimmy, you're an apprentice plumber, is that right?
Yeah, I've actually just finished my apprenticeship.
Oh, good stuff.
Just freshly qualified as of today. So,
plenty of work coming in, I'd say.
Plenty of work, yeah. Especially coming into the winter.
And did you always want to be a plumber, or how did this come about, Jimmy?
So the way that I work is I work domestically, and my dad runs a business out in Skerries. So the two of us work together now, but I never wanted to do it originally. I was kind of lost when I came out of secondary school, and I didn't really have any option. And I took a gap year, and thankfully for him having the apprenticeship there for me, it kind of dragged me into it, and it kind of just went from there. And 5 years later, I'm here now fully qualified. Yeah. And I couldn't be more thankful for it.
Brilliant. And I believe, like, very few do plumbing apprenticeships. Is that right, typically?
There's definitely less than a lot of the bigger ones anyway. You find a lot more electricians. I could name 5-6 electrician apprentices that I know, but I couldn't name any plumbers other than the ones I was in college with.
And is that because there's few programmes or few lads, you know, few people that actually want to go into it?
I'm not too sure now, because I obviously went through Solace, and as far as I know, as an apprentice, all I done was sign on, send in my papers, and then I got told when to go to college. But from when I was in college, it did seem like there was more classes or more workshops built around electricians than there was based around plumbers.
Yeah, okay. And do you think, you know, could there be more, could we do more for, you know, we'll say when you were in your final year or fifth year in secondary school, to try and promote apprenticeships, Jimmy, to you and your friends?
I think absolutely you can do a lot more in secondary schools to promote apprenticeships. I was led under the impression, now this could have been personal to me, but from going through secondary school, a lot of lads who would drop out after their junior cert would end up in apprenticeships, and they're kind of becomes a little bit of a story that dropping out, doing an apprenticeship or doing it anyway could end up as being a little bit of a failure. But then you go 7-8 years in the future, and I have people turning around to me now saying they wish they'd done an apprenticeship because of the opportunities that it's arising for me. But leaving secondary school, it didn't feel like that was an option for me at all, really. It felt like it was kind of taking an easy route, but in no way is it an easy route. I think having a complete apprenticeship you should be just as proud of yourself as finishing
Absolutely.
A master's degree, finishing an undergrad.
I've no doubt you're
like that.
Making a bucket load more money than probably a lot of your friends as well, Jimmy, because anybody who I know can never get their hands on a plumber when they need one. There's always a long wait and, you know, and always able to get good money for your skilled work as well. Clement is with us too on the line. Clement's in the real estate business in Port Laois, because you started using apprenticeships in your work, Clement.
Yeah, we started using apprenticeships 5 or 6 years ago, and it's worked out really well. Two have stayed on, and they're still with us, and we've taken new apprentices, and we find that somebody has a bit of life experience first, or a bit of experience in work experience. They generally work out better if they have more experience as a school leaver. Sometimes they're a wee bit too young, and they don't actually know what they want, and maybe a degree is not a bad idea for them till they figure it out themselves. But bright spark, or what we saw there in the last few years, we took in a few transition year students. They were absolutely brilliant. And you just would say to them, oh, well, there's one or two there, and they will absolutely excel no matter what they do. You know, it's about experience and people coming into an industry and knowing what they want. And I suppose if you do a job you like, you'll never work a day in your life. And if you can find somebody that is passionate about the job and understands what it is, like, because the other side of it is we had people come in for experience and they thought this was selling Sunset. You know, you got convertible and you put your elbow out the window and you're made up. And then they realise, holy mother of God.
It's not as glamorous in Port Laois.
No. This is not what it is. So, you know, I don't think there's any right and wrong. Certainly, there should be more promotion of apprenticeships with students in secondary school, and the career teachers need to be more mindful of it. But I think that you just can't teach experience, that work experience. You know, if somebody comes to me for an apprenticeship, I go, tell you what I'll do now. You're a lovely young fleur, you're a lovely young person, a lovely young lady, whatever. Would you come in there and work for 6 weeks and see how you get on? And, you know, after a week, they might be going.
It's a great way. It's a great way to give them a little taster. Just maybe, Rebecca, on a final point on this. You're not long out of school. Was the word apprenticeship used much when you were talking about CAO applications or after life after school? Is Rebecca there?
Hello.
Hi, how are you, Rebecca? How are things?
For me, apprenticeships were not something that was spoken about in my school at all. I would have gone to quite an academic school. It was like a public all-girls school, but, you know, in any assemblies or talking about life after secondary school, it was always just spoken about, you know, when you guys are all in college, when you guys head to university, and that felt like, for us, the only option. And we never got talks about apprenticeships, so we're joining the guards or the defence forces or anything like that. And looking back now, I think I thought at the time that going to university was the great choice for me, that I was academic, but I think in hindsight I was more so just in quite an academic environment, and considering more practical courses or something like an apprenticeship would have actually been very beneficial for me. I ended up going to college, dropping out after a year alongside a lot of my friends. I've now graduated from my undergrad, but I mean, in hindsight, I think that had I considered more practical courses, I would have
might have suited better.
Yeah,
I know,
I would have almost achieved my goals quicker as well.
And it's difficult because if it's something that's not being talked about, you know, when you're talking about potential college courses or what you're going to do after school, like, of course people aren't going to give it much attention. Listener here has got in touch to say people don't understand how much money there is to be made in the trades. Experienced high-end tractor mechanics that can run the diagnostics can charge up to €100 an hour. Absolutely something that people should be considering. Another listener says, my brother is the only one in our family that did a trade. The rest of us got degrees. He's earning twice what the rest of us make. He's off the tools, running the electrician teams on huge projects like the airports, hospitals, data centres in Ireland and Europe. He wasn't a great book learner in school. School didn't suit him, but he's the smartest out of the family. Emails lunchtimelive@newstalk.com. Rebecca, Connor, Shauna, Jimmy, Gemant, Clement, I should say, and Lisa, thanks a million for getting in touch with us.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan.
With insurancebroker.ie.
Weekdays at midday on News Talk.